Shulage.
You left off yesterday trying to understand who, if anybody, would be in violation of Bayrove Matzah when Chametz is stolen. What led us to believe that that anybody would be in violation of Bayrove Matzah? Because the Mishnah told us that if I steal Chametz, then I try to pass it off on you after Yom Tov by saying, here it is, Arish Chalafanecha. So the Mishnah talks about that being possible. The Mishnah says you can do that. The implication of the Mishnah is obvious, that the Chametz is now Asa B'Hanoam, the Chametz is Mutu B'Hanoam, then there's no Arish Chalafanecha, and I'm just returning what I stole. So obviously the Chametz did become Asa B'Hanoam. Based on the Gemara in the second Berakh of Pesachim, the Chametz only becomes Asa B'Hanoam after Pesach, because there was a violation of Bayrove Matzah, led us to believe that somebody violated it. We're not sure who, but most probably somebody violated Bayrove Matzah. So we had a machlekes in Rishonim yesterday about whether the Goslin was a candidate to violate Bayrove Matzah. So Tosfos assumed that yes, he's no different than a Shomer Shekibul Achrayos. The same way that if I'm watching your Chametz and I accept responsibility for that Chametz, I'm chayev. So too, the Goslin, by definition, is also has accepted responsibility. By stealing, he's considered to be a Mekabel Achrayos. And not everyone agreed. We quote the Shimon Kubetz's quotes an opinion that says that maybe Goslin is different. So we're not sure 100% whether the Goslin violates. But then we move the Shaila over to the other end of the equation. Maybe the Nigzol is in violation. Maybe the person who's Chametz was stolen from, maybe he's still over by Rav Matzah. So we have good reason to believe that, because he's the Bailam, he owns it. At the end of the day, Shalom, at the end of the day, the Chametz belongs to him. So that opened up a question about the relationship that a person has with goods that were stolen from him. In general, leaving aside Pesach for a minute, if Reuben steals something from Shimon, so just how much does Shimon really own that item still? So we saw the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Samech Tes. That really sets the stage for today's shiur. Just what exactly is a degree or lack thereof of ownership vis-a-vis stolen goods from the vantage point of the nigzel, the victim, the person who was stolen from? Does he really still own the object or not? And of course, that's going to impact on Bayrov Matzah. If he owns it, then there's Bayrov Matzah. If he doesn't own it anymore, then obviously there's no longer Bayrov Matzah. So we take a look back at the Gemara in the fourth of the Marmakamos. It's a Gemara of a Kamed of Samech Tesem and Aleph. Guf Amar B'Yochanan. Gezav lo Nisyashu Abaylim. Shneem Eim Yichol Mahakdish. If I steal something from you, and you haven't yet given up, so it still belongs to you, I mean, theory belongs to you, neither of us have the ability to be Mahakdish, that item. Why is that? Zelafi Shein Nishalo. So I, as the Goslin, for sure, cannot be Mahakdish, because it doesn't belong to me. But here's the key for us. Zelafi Shein Nishalo. So the reason why you can't be makdish it is because it's called Eino B'Shuso. So with this one line, Rabbi Yochanan introduces to us a new concept in bialus and ownership, that something can belong to you, but there are still limitations on your ownership, and that's what's called in Halacha Shelo V'Eino B'Shuso. And anything that falls into that category of Shelo, belonging to you, but Eino B'Shuso, so you have no ability to be makdish. You have no ability to transfer ownership on it. You can't declare it hekdish in the basic hekdish. And the question is, how do you define that? What makes something eino b'shuso? So the only example that the Gemara gives explicitly of this principle is gezel, something that was stolen from me. What is it about stolen goods that now declare that the nigzel is no longer b'shuso? So this was a machlekes between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. So the Baal HaMor in Maseches Bava Kama, in the beginning of the fourth parak, was of the opinion that what creates Eino B'Shuso is lack of accessibility, lack of control. If they're all, I can't get it. The bottom line is you stole it. You're not cooperating with me. You're not giving it back to me. So I can't get my hands on it. So the Baal HaMor says that you can own something, but if tachlis, bottom line is you can't do anything with it. If you can't even get it, if you'd want it. So that's called Eino B'Shuso, and that's an equal. That prevents you from being makdish such an item. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan, Gezel Shalom Eino B'Shuso. Therefore, the Baal HaMor suggests that one of the Goslin begins to cooperate, and the Goslin says, okay, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm ready to give it back to you. So then it's called B'Shusi again. Even though he hasn't yet given it back, as long as he's already beginning to cooperate, that's sufficient for the Nigzel to be able to be Mahakdish. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, just because the Goslin is now being nice and claims he's going to return it, that doesn't alter the state of Eino B'Shuso. Why? Says the Ramban, what created Eino B'Shuso in the first place was not because of lack of control. What created Eino B'Shuso in the first place was the halachic relationship that the Goslin acquires vis-a-vis the item. When somebody steals something, they have what's called in halacha kinyan gezela. A kidding gazelle does not mean you have to keep it. What kidding gazelle means is that you have to pay for it. Kidding gazelle means if something happens to it, you are held responsible. So the Ramban argues that it's that kinyan gazela that the gazlan has that ultimately is an impediment to the nigzel's full bila, so to speak, of the item. So it's now labeled the shaloveda b'shuso because of the kinyan gazela, not because of the physical lack of accessibility, but because of the kinyan gazela shibo. Therefore, the Ramban argues, what is mafkia? What undoes the kinyan gazela? The heshvas gazela. When he literally returns it, not that he calls up and says he's willing to, not when he's clapping chayt and saying, I feel bad that I stole it, please come and get it whenever you want. No, when he literally puts it back into the nigzel's hands, that's considered to be the undoing of the kinyan gezeila. That's heshvas gezeila. And then only then can the nigzel begin to be machdisha. So again, we accept this nid of Rabbi Yochanan. Not everyone in the Gemara accepts, but we pass it on Rabbi Yochanan that there is this new category called Eina B'shuso. We're not quite sure to fine-tune what it's based on. Is it based on a lack of physical accessibility, or is it based on the kinyan gezeila shiva? But at the end of the day, everyone agrees to some degree that there is such a principle. Oh, very good, excellent. Oh, excellent. So there's a machlekes have shown him about what if there's a davar shel aveda? What if I lost something? I can't find it. I know it's somewhere. I have no idea where it is. So it's an aveda. Would that be called Eina B'shuso or not? So the Rishonim have machlokes about this, and the Haradim explain that machlokes probably depends on the Balamor and the Ramban. If you go down the root of the Balamor, that what creates Eina B'shuso is lack of accessibility. What's the difference whether it's not accessible to me because it's stolen or because it's lost somewhere? But if you hold that what creates Eina B'shuso is the kinyan gezela shebo, if there's no gazlan, then there's no kinyan gezela, so it would still be labeled as B'shuso. So it's this Gemara about Gezeval and Yashua Ba'alim that becomes pivotal in terms of our discussion of Chametz. But before we can get back to the case of the Gozel Chametz, we have to take a look at a very, very important Gemara that appears in the fifth of the Marmakamos. It appears both in Rav Kama and in Pesachim, and everything's going to hinge upon how one reads this Gemara. So the Gemara in the fifth of the Marmakamos, in Chavtes Amid Beis, Damar Abelaz B'shem Abishmal, Shnei Devarim Einan B'shusa Shaladam. There are two things that are not B'shusi. Now, we're not sure how to translate that phrase, but we'll use a very, very vague terminology. It's not really mine. We'll just call it lack of bialis for a moment. We may have to redefine that soon. But shnei devarim ein b'shuso shaladam, there are two things that you don't really own. The asana kasa kilu ein b'shuso. Even though you don't really own it, in terms of dina mamon, in terms of chashimish, but it's not really yours. But the Torah, in a sense, make believes that you own it. And the Torah holds you responsible as if you own it. So in terms of pure dini mamonas, I theoretically could have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not my problem, it's not mine, it's more. According to the rules of Chashim Mishpat, it's not mine. The Torah says, you're right, the Taka doesn't belong to you. And tough luck, you still, we're going to treat it as if it does. What are those two things? So the reason why this is in Bava Kama is because of Bar B'Shus Arabim, something that we spoke about in the past. When I dig a pit in the middle of the street, and now your animal falls into my pit. I was just having a discussion with my kids the other day about a barbershop ram. We were walking somewhere, and happy to say it wasn't in Dinek. We were walking in another community, and there was a
pothole.
But it wasn't a pothole. Like the basement, you know, when you go down to the cellars. The things they open up. Yeah, what? No. The cellar doors, and the kids in the cellar doors, and they're supposed to be closed.
In Brooklyn was a little better.
I don't want to say which borough it was in, but they're not going to mention it. So it was mamish wide open. It was wide open. There was nothing stopping anybody. Mamish, and mamish, a prison falling in. So one of my sons, I guess, must have learned Baba Kama. So we wanted to know, is that a din of a bore of 10 tefachim or not? Because when you fall in, you would fall directly onto a stair. You'd fall to the stair and then topple down the rest of the way. So he was clearing a chakira. Is that called a bore? But just what I said, I'm not interested in finding out. So the Gemara says, if a guy digs a hole in the middle of the street, so in theory, he shouldn't be chayef. Why should he be chayef? It's not his bore. The Torah says, Baal HaBor Yishalem. It's not my bore. So Salam the Shavon. I dig a hole in the middle of the street. Let the town of Tinek pay for it. It's not my responsibility. It doesn't belong to me. So Rabbi Shmuel comes to dispel that notion. He says, you're right. In terms of Cheshemish, but in terms of Dinei Mamonos, you don't really own that pit. It's public property. But guess what? Baal HaBor Yishalem. The Torah saw Kosev Gilem B'Shuso. The Torah is going to make believe like it's yours, i.e. concerning having to pay. So you're not going to be able to hide behind not being yours. And the other one is V'chametz B'Sheisho Solimala. The other example Rabbi Shmuel says of something that you don't really own, and you really should not be held accountable for it, is chametz after 6 hours. It's chametz and Pesach. So chametz and Pesach, I'm going to have a lom de shikash. Why am I over by Rav Motzei? It doesn't belong to me. The Torah says, le'erel l'chachametz. So you're only in violation of by a Rav, you own the chametz. It's not my chametz. Why is it not my chametz? Because it's also banor. You're not allowed to get hanor anyway from chametz on Pesach. Already starting her Pesach, according to many, you're not allowed to get hanor from chametz. So if so, it's not my chametz. It's not my chametz. Why am I over by Rav Motzei? So the Torah says, it's a nice fancy lomdus. Save it for a shia one day. But tachas, at the end of the day, asana koski lebishuso. The Torah says that even though it's not really yours, halachic purposes, by Rav Motzei, it is considered to be yours. So these are the two examples, the two exceptions that rule Rabbi Shmuel says, that they don't really belong to you, and therefore you should have been able to be exempt. But Kamash Balon the Parsha of Balabor, Kamash Balon Leiruch HaChametz, that you're still held accountable, notwithstanding the fact you don't, quote unquote, really own it. Now the question becomes, what does that mean you don't really own it? Rabbi Shmuel saw in these two halachas a tremendous chiddush that the Eina B'Shus. So what does that mean? What do the words mean? So there are some Rishonim who interpret this to mean, Kipshuto, that it doesn't belong to you. It's literally not your property. They're using the words B'Shuso as synonymous with the word Shalom. Namely, Rabbi Shmuel could have just as easily said, Shnei Devarim Eino Shel Ha'adam. They're not yours. You don't own these things. Why don't you own these things? A boar is simple. You don't own it because it's in the middle of the streets. How in the world can you own it? It's not yours. And why don't you own chametz? So some Mishnayim say that chametz is just doesn't have any ownership to it. You can't own a davar asabana. Nothing to do with Pesach. Let's say, for example, I have a cheeseburger. I can't own a cheeseburger. It's not nitfas tabayos. You can't own something that's prohibited by hanah. I have orla, kerem, other examples of isuri hanah. So anything that's also hanah, by definition, has absolutely zero bialus to it. So that view of Rabbi Shmuel's statement was actually taken by the Ravid. The Ravid is quoted in the third parak of Masechet Sukkah. The Ravid is quoted by the Ritva. Chiddush HaRidva in Masechet Sukkah have undergone an interesting transformation. For many, many years, people didn't realize it was a Ridva. It was mislabeled as a Chiddush HaRashba. We were talking before about a lot of Kisveyad. So not only were a lot of Kisveyad destroyed, some Kisveyad got mixed up over the years. So sometimes you thought that a certain Sefer was written by one Rishon, it was written by a contemporary, written by somebody else. So for hundreds of years, the Chiddush HaRidva were published under the name of the Chiddush HaRashba. So every once in a while you find like an Achmer Malesi Kasha, it says in the Rashba in Sukkah this, and it says in the Rashba in Shabbos that, and then you realize it was a different person. So then, this is not my grandiose discovery, this discovery was made already well over 100 years ago, that they realized it was really the Chiddush HaRidva. At the end of the day, it was really the Ritva. It's funny, there's a Chiddushim that were written on Masechet Shabbos, that appeared in also on the name of the Chiddush HaRidva, and then there was a mistake, then it turned out it was really the Chiddush HaRan. Then there was another set of Chiddushim that were written by supposedly by the Ran, and then others claimed they were written by, not by the Ritva, they claimed they were written by somebody else. Then there's a third set of Chiddushim, now there's Machlek HaSubra. So there were three sets of Chiddushim all written at the same time, and it's a musical Chiddushim. We're not sure whether the Ran wrote this, the Ritva, somebody wrote, three different people wrote the three Chiddushim. We're not sure which Rishon exactly wrote what which. They're all great. They're all from Rishonim, but we're not quite sure. Can't pin down exactly who wrote what. So here also, the what's now has been proven over the last couple of generations are the authentic Chiddush HaRitva. So the Ritva in Masechet Sukkah, the third paragraph, quotes a Ravid, who really was the Ravid. There happened to have been three Ravids. There were three different people who had the same Rosh Hashanah as Ravid. But this particular Chiddush is the Ravid. That the Ravid understood that Isuri Hanah don't belong to you. So end the discussion that it's impossible halachically to own something that's asab hanah.
But if somebody is nezak on it, am I responsible?
No, you wouldn't be responsible because it doesn't belong to anybody. It's like a dov shel hefker. According to the Ravid, a cheeseburger is a dov shel hefker. I own McDonald's and I thought I owned all these cheeseburgers. No, you don't own anything. Whatever is asab hanah doesn't have any bialus on it whatsoever. That's the Ravid's shita. Yeah, the same will be true for chametz, right? Even though chametz means while it's asab hanah, it's ain't lo bialus.
You have rights to it afterwards.
If afterwards, if the Yisrael would disappear, then the Bailus would... Well, that's a question. Would the Bailus automatically come back? Or it's quite possible the Bailus wouldn't actually come back. It's Hefker. And now when the Yisrael is over, so then Kolakonim Zochel, whoever wants to grab it, grabs it. So there are some Rishonim who say that whenever Davar Asamana, even if it's potentially retrievable down the line, it's not going to be retrievable by you. It means it'll become Hefker, and then whoever gets it is going to get it.
It can never be over by your mouth, say.
Right, well, that's part of what Rabbi Shmuel was talking about. That's exactly what Rabbi Shmuel is going to mean in a second. So again, so the Ravid sheet is that Yisur HaNoch can never belong to you. Why was the Ravid writing that in the third parak of Sukkot? Because he was talking about an Esrog Shel Orla. The Mishnah says that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Baal Minim with an Esrog for the first 3 years of growth. It's an Esrog Shel Orla. And the question is, why not? So it's unclear in the Gemara, why not? So the Ravid says, I'll tell you why not. Because it's not yours, that's why not. And the Torah says, L'chachtam L'chem, it has to belong to you. And a davar asmanah doesn't belong to you. That's why, according to the Ravid, the Mishnah says in the second part of Kedushin that if you try to be a Kaddish and Isha with a davar asmanah, it's not going to work. So if you're standing under the chuppah and you're fumbling around, you can't find the ring, can't find anything else, and you pull out a cheeseburger, it's not going to work. If a Kaddish with an apple shal oil, it's not going to fly. I remember years ago, we were learning Masada Kedushin in Yeshiva, so I used to always joke about this, how, in the Masada Kedushin, so it's always pretty straightforward, the ring, the Eidim, it's not very complicated, Siddi Kedushin, pretty much the same thing. So I always say, I'm still waiting for that one Chassan who's going to be very creative, and he's going to yank out a Shohaniskal, Makadosh Yishim Shohaniskal, with the Kanta Chamor, something a little bit more creative. So one of my Tamidim, but I didn't bring Shohaniskal, but under the chuppah, he actually whispered to me as he was about to put the ring on her finger. He said, Rebbe, is this the time I'm supposed to pull out my shohaniskal? And I don't think she heard him, but if she would have heard him, it's a good thing she didn't hear him. I didn't understand him. There was once a Masada Kedushin that he was giving some instructions that were a little bit embarrassing under the chuppah, and he didn't realize that the microphone was on, and 500 people heard. He was whispering loud enough that 500 people heard it, so you have to be careful what's said under the chuppah. It doesn't always remain under the chuppah. Okay, anyway, so... The Mishnah says you can't be Mekadesh and Isha with oil, etc. So the Rabbi would say, well, that's very simple. Why? Because it's not yours. Well, the first question they ask the Chassid under the chuppah is this ring belong to you? Is it yours? Did you buy it with your own money, etc.? And if his parents bought it, they have to give it to him as a kin, as a matan. Yes, the mamash belonged to him. So if you have a Mekadesh as a Isha, a Shohaniskal, the Shohaniskal doesn't belong to you. So of course the Kedushin is not good. According to the Ravid, so Rabbi Yishmael's statement reads very, very smoothly. So we'll go back to the fifth of the Ramakamas for a second. Rabbi Yishmael said, Shnei devarim einu b'shusa shel adam, v'asana kosgin b'shusa. Namely, there are two things that mamish don't belong to you. It's not yours. Indeed, your mamish and chayish mishma doesn't belong to you. One is bar b'shusa ram, and one is chametz and pesach. And in both cases, you, in theory, should have been exempt. You should have been able to sneak out and say, well, not my bar, not my chametz. So that's the Chiddush HaTorah. That's exactly what's looked in the Parshat HaTorah of Bar B'Shus HaRavim. And that's what's munach in the Parshat HaTorah by Rabbi Matzai, even though it is not yours, and Dina Mamonis doesn't matter, you are still held responsible as if it is yours. So according to the Ravi, the Gemara reads very, very smooth. What the Eina B'Shusa was, Eina B'Shusa was translated to mean Eina Shalom. The problem is that there are Rishonim who disagree with the Ravid. The Ritva in Masechah Sukkah quotes the Ravid and disagrees. The Ritva says that the reason why you can't use an Esrog Shel Orla for Sukkahs has nothing to do with it not being yours. It is yours. It's 100% yours. The reason why you can't use this is for a totally different reason. We have a rule that's called Kesuse Mechta Shiure, something that's supposed to be burnt, something that's omed lekach to be destroyed, to be burned, is lacking in a shear. It's as if it doesn't really exist in the intact sense. There's no shear shimo. An esrog requires a shear. An esrog has to be a bare minimum size. It has to be the size of an egg. So if an esrog is about to be burnt, I'm taking it out to the fire to burn it in 10 minutes from now. So how could you say that it has a shear? That's called kesuse mechta shiure. Like the Gemara says, if you have a shofar shell, yonidachas, so you can't use that for shofar. Shofar has to have a certain minimum size to it. And whatever's over the kach to be burnt, to be destroyed, it's chasr in the shir. So the Ritva says the chisaro, the deficiency in an esrog shel orla, has absolutely nothing to do with not belonging to you. It belongs to you. It's yours. It's 100% yours. It's just you still can't use it for davar minim. Why can't you be mekadesh and isha with it if it still belongs to you? So the Rishonim give another reason. You can't be mekadesh and isha with it because it's not a shava pruta. Because what are you going to get for it in the marketplace? If I own an item that's worth less than a shava pruta, I own a small item less than a shava pruta, I still can't be Makadosh in Yeshua then, because the two questions that we asked the Edom under the Chuppah are, we asked the Chassan, does the ring belong to you? And then we turn around to the Edom and we say, is the ring worth a Sheva Pruta? And the Emma says it's worth way more than a Sheva Pruta, but we don't care about that. We just want to make sure it's worth a Sheva Pruta. So you see these two Edom, two Yeshiva guys sitting under the Chuppah, to analyze, they don't know, they wouldn't know the difference whether it was a bubblegum ring or a, you know, Ken, looks like it's probably Shaprutin. It's worth $500. It looks like it's Shaprutin. It'll be fine. So you have to make sure that it's a Shaprutin and it belongs to the Chassan. So according to the Raivin, the Chisard of the Orla, the Kaddish Orla, is that it doesn't belong to the Chassan. According to the Ritva, the Chisard is that's not worth the Shaprutin, but it does actually belong to the person. So according to the Ritva, how do you read this Gemara in Baba Kama? So for the third time, we have to read Rabbi Shmuel's statement. Shnei devarim ein b'shusa shel adam. There are two things that you don't own. One is bar and one is chametz. Not true. What do you mean you don't own chametz? Why don't I own chametz? What is it about chametz that makes me not own the chametz? Bar that I got. Bar is in the middle of the street. It's not really my, it's not my land. It's not my home. Not my airspace. I got that. But what is it about chametz that is ein b'shusa shel adam? Just because it's asabah, no, that's good according to the Raivin, but that's not going to be acceptable according to the Ritva. So the Ktzos suggests that perhaps the other way of reading this Gemara is as follows. Yeah, I guess for the fourth time. Shnei devarim einam b'shusa shel adam. Ktzos says, notice the Lashon of Chazal. Chazal did not say, Shnei devarim einam shel ha'adam. It's not what the Lashon of the Gemara is. Shnei devarim einam b'shusa shel adam. Einam b'shusa is almost like a gzeir shavut. Rabbi Yochanan's einam b'shusa. Rabbi Yochanan also used the phrase ein b'shuso, and he didn't mean it doesn't belong to you. When somebody steals something from me, it's still mine. It belongs. It's 100% mine, but it's shali the ein b'shusi. So once something is ein b'shuso shalom, even though it's still shalom, that impacts on some of the things that he can do with it. He can't be machdash, and he can't sell it, he can't be mafker, etc. There are things that you can't do once something is ein b'shuso. Even though it is still yours, it's still indeed a moment is yours, it's shalom ein b'shuso. So comes the Ktzos and says, b'dasa ridva, that's what this Gemara means. That's what the Gemara means when it says, the Chabad says ein b'shuso shaladam, that means it's shalom ein b'shuso. And it's clear for the Gemara that would have been sufficient grounds not to violate by Yerov Eimatzeh. Because in order to violate by Rav Matze, it has to be completely and totally yours. Completely, totally, no limitations, no hesitations, no strings of that. It has to be Shalom u'b'shuso. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel meant when he says, there are two things that ain't b'shuso shaladam. There are two things that you really shouldn't have been over on. Bor b'shuso rab is not yours, but chametz b'pesach is Shalom v'ain't b'shuso. But that limbo status itself of Shalom Yad HaMishuso would have been sufficient to exempt you from Barav Matzei. So the guy's turning around to the Torah and saying, I'm not going to be over Barav Matzei. It's Shalom Yad HaMishusi. It's not 100% mine because it's lacking Mishusi. Ayin Bevakar Medav Samachtes. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. That's the Chiddush Torah. Guess what? It's a nice, cute lumdus, but it's wrong. Asara Kosov Kilei Mishuso. The Torah says, even though it's not Mishuscha, we're going to treat it like it is Mishuscha. So these are two very, very different ways of reading the Gemara. What was the Havamina? What was the reason? What was the rationale to potentially get me to sneak out of my Rav Matzei? What would have exempted me from my Rav Matzei? According to the Raivit, it's the lack of ownership. According to the Ritva, it's not really a lack of ownership. It's the lack of Bishuso. Bishuso is also critical in order to be over by Rav Matzei. Kamash Balon, Asana Kosov Kile Bishuso.
If somebody lends something to somebody else, in whose rishus?
Oh, so you mean an item? You don't mean money. You mean lends an item. Yeah. Lend you my car. So we assume la halacha that that's still considered to be rishus of the mafkin or the mashiel, that he's still the bialim to the chol davar. He's the
shalom. It belongs to him. It's shalom.
Right. It's shalom and rishus.
And it's also rishus.
According to overwhelming majority of the rishonim, it's considered to be rishus. Also, the pashup shot of the gemara of Kama is that it's called rishus. The only things that ain't rishus. Gezel is ain't rishus. Maybe aveda. Maybe dvamas rabbanu. Etc. But that would double base a shomer, even base a show would probably still be called b'shuso.
So according to Ritva, what is ein b'shuso after 6 hours?
Ein b'shuso according to Ritva means it's shalom, but it's ein b'shuso because it's asabana, a dover asabana.
That was the Raivin. The Raivin said
no. The Raivin said it's not yours. The Raivin said it's not shalom b'chlal.
It's not yours because it's asabana.
Right, and according to Ritva, it's ein b'shuso because it's asabana. Asabana creates a status of Eina B'shusa, doesn't create a status of Eina Shalom.
So,
we're
going to
Eina
B'shusa means it's not
a new. Okay, that's exactly what we're going to get to. So, the question is, does this equation, is this true? Do we understand this idea that just because it's a cheeseburger, now it's called Eina B'Shuso? Just because it's Chometz B'Pesach and it's called Eina B'Shuso, just because the Shoah Niskel is called Eina B'Shuso? What is it about that characteristic of Asad Ba'anah that makes it Eina B'Shuso? So for that, we have to go back to the original Machlokes, the Balamor and the Ramban. What made Eina B'Shuso in the first place? What made Gezela Eina B'Shuso? So according to the Balamor, ultimately what made Gezela Eina B'Shuso was a lack of accessibility. Someone is holding your hands down. Someone is preventing you from using the item. Who is the somebody? So in the case of Gezela, the somebody is the thief. In the case of Aveda, the somebody is the fact that the item is lost. In the case of Davar Asabanah, the somebody, we can call him the Shulchan Aruch, call him the Torah, the Rabban Shalom. The Rabban Shalom is holding your hand down and saying, you see that cheeseburger? You can't touch it anymore. You see that challah roll now after on Pesach? You can't touch it. You see that oil, the shoriska? You can't touch it. So that is creating the status of inaccessibility. So according to the Balamor, once I meet the criteria of inaccessibility, that falls into the category of shalom ve'ena b'shuso. And according to the Ketos, Bedasa Ritva, that's the ultimate reason why you shouldn't have been over by Rabbi Maltziv, not for the Chiddush Torah. What about according to the Ramban? According to the Ramban, who says that what created Eina B'Shuso was the Gezela, was the Kinyan Gezela. So what does that have to do with Chometz Asa Ba'anah? There's no, the Torah doesn't have a Kinyan Gezela. There's no Kinyan Gezela in Isuri Hanah. So with Pashtus, just as the Ramban would have argued that an Aveda is still called B'Shusi, so too a Davar Asa Ba'anah would still be called B'Shusi. So in Lechora, this Pshat of the Ketos only fits into the mind, into the approach of the Balamor. Once you leave the Balamor's approach and you go down the Ramban's path, then this whole equation, this whole Svara of equating Isuri HaNoah with Eina B'Shuso seems to break down. Unless one wants to argue that the Ramban also accepts the Balamor. The Ramban holds there are two halachas. The Ramban would agree that, of course, there's Eina B'Shuso of lack of accessibility. The Ramban was mechadish that in addition to that, even if the fellow wants to give it back, there's still a level of Eina B'Shuso because of the Kinyan Gezela. So if the Ramban also accepts the Balamor, then we can explain this Ketos even according to the Ramban. The Ketos doesn't mention this. He doesn't say any of this. He has a couple of lines where he raises the question. He says, what's Pshat in this Gemara in Pesach? What does it mean, Eina B'Shuso Shel Adam? According to the Rav, it means something else. According to the Ritva, it means this. And he's not Mesiaches. He doesn't even address the fact that, and by the way, this depends on Machlokes Balamor and the Ramban. So maybe he assumed this is another Pasha that it did depend. Or maybe assume that maybe the Ramban will buy into it also. So again, so we have a little bit of a background about how Eina B'Shuso plays out in terms of Chametz, and that's going to set the stage for going back to the case of Gezela. So we're still learning the sugya of Gezel Chametz. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to connect the dots and put all the final pieces together to get a better understanding what the Mishnah actually did mean when it said Gezel Chametz rather than Pesach.